More Heart Than Talent Radio.
Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, More Heart Than Talent Facebook Live, a beautiful Tuesday, July. Welcome to the Facebook Live today. I've been hosting this week, originally it was a mindset call, going back to 1999. I believe that's when I started. 1998. I first started this, it was a live mindset call. 1998, I think about this, 1999. It was 1999 at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then eventually moved it to 7:30 Pacific, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, 4 years until last year. I moved it to a Facebook Live. So we have a half hour, More Heart Than Talent, Facebook Live today. Topic for today's call, this is an exceptional topic, is letting go of unresolved anger. Now, if you have the book, The Anger Factor, that I wrote in 2017, that will give you some good insight about the call. I also have recommended for years a book called Angry All the Time by Efron and Potter, a book that I started reading in the early 2000s. So anger is going to be based on unresolved issues, violations, transgressions, events that shape your feelings. And if you are serious about letting go of anger, then the content I have for you will give you great insight into the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do. Now, there are more than one form of anger. There's resentment. That's a much more deeper, abiding type of anger that's held on to. Anger oftentimes is an aggression. It's a pissed off type of feeling. It's an, I'm angry. I'm so angry at you. And then there's the other type of anger, which is hate, which is also a lot more targeted anger. And it's a lot more intense anger. Now, athletes can also turn on anger in a sporting event. They can talk smack with each other. They can talk locker room talk. They can push each other and shove each other. They can provoke each other. And I'm going to kick your keister and things like this happen. And they challenge each other. And that's all part of the vernacular of sports, is getting in someone's head, taking them out of their game. And then there's technical fouls that happen in basketball. In baseball, you're out of here. You're thrown out of the game. You have to go back to the locker room. And then you see people throw helmets out on the field. They throw bats, and they distribute their anger. Well, that's a lot of unresolved anger. As you begin to understand cause and effect of what anger really means, and you move into the let-go process of anger, meaning you separate your feelings from the events. Anger can also come from violations, where it's in your household, perpetrators, violators, traumatizers. There's incest, there's molestation, sexual abuse, physical abuse, and all the other situations that go with being physically beaten and or abused. It's very easy to hold on to some of that anger. And as you start to understand the events that shape the feelings, you can move into the release and the let go process of letting go of your anger. Anger, when it's calibrated and measured out, is the highest level of energy in anxiety. Anger is an anxiety. Anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, overwhelmed feelings, grief, and apathy. And as you start to understand cause, those are the events, why you do what you do, that's the feelings attached to the events, as you start to have a better understanding, as you understand, you're aware, you know, you trust your feelings, you're able to let go. Now you're moving from anxiety, which is anger, fear, and doubt, as you move from anxiety, you move into a place called courage. You have the courage to address the issues. You have the courage to let go. The reason that many people don't let go is because it would change their identity. Who would I be if I wasn't angry all the time? Who would I be if I wasn't overwhelmed? Who would I be if I didn't make other people wrong? A lot of anger is also based on being right. Many people would rather be right than they would be rich. Many people actually set you up to fulfill their anger so they can be angry. They require that conflict. A conflict consciousness is how many people operate in their anger. They be and stay angry all the time. How many of you grew up with angry parents or an angry parent? Or here are the terms that happens when you grow up with these type of people. I had to walk on eggshells, pins and needles. I was worried all the time. It was an unpredictable household. I never knew what to expect. There was the good dad and the bad dad. There was the drunk mom and the happy mom. I mean, this is some of the situations that happen that creates our own fight or flight. So if you grow up with people who are passive aggressive, it becomes confusing to us. And we live in this fight or flight state, in this unpredictability, which then creates a neurochemical dependency to a set of feelings that we become emotionally addicted to. And if you are one of these people who had to take care of one of these angry people, there's a high probability that that becomes part of your identity as you lose your innocence as a child, being a caretaker, which now can create codependence. And you could frequently attract your realities, people, to fulfill these feelings. Now, once again, as you start to understand a better understanding, better awareness of why you do what you do, then you can separate these feelings. The separation means you let go. Letting go is non-linear. It's not physical. It has no shape. It has no form. It does have a definition, and the definition is the separation of the feelings from the events that are unresolved. But if you continue to live in unresolved anger, your body will run your brain, and then you will blow up. You'll lose your composure. You'll have road rage in situations like this. You'll honk your horn, and you'll get upset very easily. You make me so angry. That's how many people talk about anger. I'm recovering from anger. My anger used to show up on this side of my body. On the left, I'm right-handed. So on the left side of my body, I'm a recovering grinder. I would TMJ. I would grind my teeth at night, especially in early sobriety, because as I became clean and sober, I didn't have the alcohol to take the edge off. So when I would go to sleep at night, I would bring this edge that I had left over from the unresolved issues that I didn't understand, I wasn't aware of, didn't really know. And as I was moving into recovery, without the alcohol, the drugs, or the other situations that I would use to medicate my low self-esteem, my emotions that was driven by anger had nowhere to go. And when I'd go to sleep at night, I would toss and turn and I'd wake up with a headache, primarily from C1 and C2, the atlas and the axis in the upper cervical spine. And I'd go to a chiropractor, I'd get adjusted, but they would pop right back out very quickly because of the unresolved issues, specifically anger that I was holding on to. When we hold on to what we don't know, that's denial. I don't know. I don't understand. My whole childhood was blurred. I don't understand why I do this. I'm not clear on why I do this. Clarity is a lot what can allow you to have definite purpose. When you start to have clarity, now you know. When you move into recovery in a place called rigorous honesty, you become honest. I am honest. I understand. So when you move into acceptance, you accept that you have anger issues and that you're committed to releasing your feelings about those events. I've had veterans that come back from foreign wars that I've coached who have PTSD, and they're angry at the treatment that their country gave them, or what the VA hospital did, or what happened to them overseas, or these situations. And it's very common for these patriotic veterans to come back and feel like they've been violated, or feel like they're injured and traumatized. And I have a lot of compassion for these men and women who stood the gap for our country. And they feel like a lot of times they don't get the respect they deserve. And that's why we have Veterans Day. And that's why we have some of these holidays to really represent these people. And many people come back from these situations and they're traumatized. And that's what happens to a lot of really good people. They don't understand the traumas that they endured. And then they repress their feelings over the top of them, not really understanding why they do what they do. And then recreate the same situation over and over to fulfill the feelings. That is what an addiction is. Now, if you're not joined my newest group called Sobriety Consciousness, that's a page that you can join. It's a closed group. I will obviously accept you like this. It's a group that you can see a lot of great content from people who are in sobriety, in recovery, in consciousness, in the let go process. There's some very prolific writers who are sharing some of their feelings. There's a lot of vulnerability in that group about how people are in the process of letting go. And if you're committed to that process, then you will be in this state of recovery for the rest of your life. Now, what happens is you move into sobriety, recovery, and especially consciousness. Now, that's what will begin to change your emotional vibration. That's what will change your flow. That's what will change who and what you attract. It can be instantaneous, can also be gradual, especially as you have a better understanding. When you let go of trying to make sense of it, when you're no longer trying to make sense of the situation and you move into the understand part, that's acceptance, is you're able to accept the events that happen, accept the transgressions you created, is you're able to forgive yourself for the situations that you created, is you understand that you're a chronic sabotager, is you understand that you're an overwhelmed overwhelmer, is you understand that you're a chronic avoider and you accept that, now you can move into the release and the recovery portion of that. Instead of saying, I don't know, I don't understand, my whole child was a blur, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to act, what do you think I should do, I can't make sense of this. When you talk in this addict talk, this communication of non-committed addict talk, you're paralyzed. You can't move forward. All you can do is stay in a place called doubt. You can read the books. You can go to the meetings. You can go to the events. You go to the rallies. You can go to the conventions. But if you don't produce, it's because you have deep-seated anxiety about not being good enough. And then if you can't find someone to get angry with, you'll get angry at yourself, and then you'll criticize yourself. If you can't find someone to reject you, you'll reject yourself. And this is what happens to a lot of really, really good people who are in a low level of recovery state. Now, that happens real early in early recovery, but if you're seeking a quantum leap where the sum is greater than whole of parts, 2 + 2 = sobriety, 2 + 2 = recovery, 2 + 2 = consciousness, 2 + 2 = 16, quantum leap, sum greater than whole of part, well, this is the content that will assist you to have a better understanding, a better awareness of why you do what you do. I coach addicts every single day, 12 to 14 hours. Now, they don't come to me as addicts. They come to me because they typically want to build a business, not really understanding that the emotional addictions that they perpetuate over and over to fulfill a set of feelings. As a recovering addict myself of drugs, alcohol, sex, and codependence, those are the four main addictions, and I would part-time be a chronic debtor in certain situations. And then I also had narcotics challenges as well, so there are six. But really, those six, the law of six breaks down to the law of one. So I would use six different forums to perpetuate my addictions, but those addictions are all a direct reflection of a series of events that I would hold on to not feel good enough, sabotage myself, start over so I could create the neurochemical high of hitting rock bottom, then going somewhere up into the middle, and then dropping back down. I could never get to the top because I couldn't outperform my own low self-esteem. But as I started to let go of the cause that created the effect of why I do what I do, who and what I changed begin to show up differently. Now, I'm from a small town in Iowa, 7,500 people, Clarinda, Iowa, right outside of Omaha, Nebraska, right below Omaha, above Kansas City, Missouri, about 2 hours from Kansas City, hour from Omaha, a little tiny town, county seat of Page County, Iowa. 7,500 people, small high school, small town boy, hay rides, country music, country rock, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Bob Seger in the 70s, Vietnam's war is over. I know that I don't want to have a job. I go to college, State University, Northwest Missouri State University. I don't graduate with honors. I graduated about a 3.1, barely open a book, and I want to be an entrepreneur. I pursued that in my 20s, but I had so much leftover rage and so much hate and so much resentment for an unfulfilled childhood that I had, for not living up to my own potential, not succeeding to the level I knew I was capable of in sports, and playing four sports rather than one or two, going to a smaller high school rather than a larger high school where I could specialize. I had a lot of low esteem issues. It took me till 31 to hit rock bottom, which, by the way, is way overrated. You don't have to hit rock bottom. Right now where you are is rock middle. And if you're rock middle, today's a great place to commit. And you commit, number one, to letting go. You let go of whatever it is you're holding on to. You take a good look at it. Take a look around you. Do you live unorganized? Are you pissed off a lot? Are you angry? Are you overwhelmed? Are you hoarding? Are you undisciplined? Do you wing it? I mean, these are some of the situations, the common commonalities. You say to yourself, I'm not where I should be. I should be a lot further along. Do you actually silently resent other people? You look around and you go, oh, I'm so happy for them. Not really. I'm very jealous. I'm very envious of these people. That was me. I would go to the events and go, not really. I'm sitting there going, I can't believe that that guy's getting an award and I'm not. I'm better than him. And I would sit there in envy and jealousy and hate, resentment. You go, okay, I'm going to go back and I'm going to succeed if it kills me. Scars are souvenirs you never lose. The past is never far. That's a quote from the Goo Goo Dolls, the song. to understand the let go process, and you let go of your anger. And the person you're usually the most angry at is you. You may not recognize it, but you know deep inside that you're not living up to your potential. You know it. You know it because your bank account reflects it. You look around and you go, oh, wow, I have no assets. And I have a lot of debt. I mean, you know it. You know somewhere inside you that you're not remotely living up to that person you can be. And that pisses you off. You know that does. Well, you don't turn on that energy. Anger is not the energy that you require to produce from. You require to produce from peace, because peace is power. I used to say, I'm going to succeed if it kills me. It almost did. It exhausted me. And what it did is I kept blowing my neck out every day, meaning that C1 and C2 would go out like this 2 and 3 times a day, which would relegate me to having migraine headaches, so I'd have to overcome the headache. It was just another hurdle I had to overcome. I became the obstacle chasers. I would create my own obstacles to overcome them to fulfill the neurochemical high that kept me angry. What was the major breakthrough for me? Once again, I hit rock bottom again. I hit rock bottom more than one time. I hit it as an addict, then I hit it financially, where I ended up $100,000 worth of credit card debt. I am so done with that. I don't have to hit rock bottom to change. That was a new affirmation that I started to teach myself. Rock bottom is overrated. I mean, rock middle is cool. So if you have a better understanding of cause and effect and why you do what you do, then you will start to look at this. What are the events that shaped my anger? Who traumatized me? Who violated me? Who picked on me in the playground? Why did I get singled out? Why was I never good enough? How many of you grew up in a situation where no matter what you did, it was not good enough? You were put in a position you had to explain, validate, and justify yourself. Did you have to experience any of that? And if that happens to you and you're now explaining yourself, someone asks you a question, you tell a story, well, there's a reason that you tell that story. There's a reason you aren't clear and can't get to the point in any kind of communication. Anger, hate, resentment, and rage. Do you have any of this? I do. I'm in the resolution of it. Angry all the time. I used to read that book by Efron and Potter. Before I wrote the book, before I wrote my most recent book, the breath. As you take that breath, that's what releases your anger. As I started to write The Anger Factor a number of years ago, I had a very clear understanding and distinction of why I do what I do. Everyone has a story. Metacognition means you can see the situation for what it is. Objectivity means you're detached from it. You can see why you do what you do. Learn to produce from peace, not from anger. Now, that confused me the first time I heard that. That didn't make sense. I thought that you had to be really motivated. My motivation was misinterpreted. My motivation was anger-driven. I didn't have the relaxed passion in it. I couldn't separate passion and anger. They seemed like the same energy. I also would say things to myself, I'm playing for blood. I'm going to do this if it kills me. I'm going to win at all costs. Well, that doesn't apply in business. In sports, that's a different situation. Even in sports, winning at all costs is not good sportsmanship always. It means you might have to cheat, or you might have to do something that's not credible, and that really doesn't apply. If you own a business, you're in free enterprise, or you want to improve, self-esteem does not recognize winning and losing. Self-esteem does not operate off the black and white principle. Self-esteem is not good or bad. Self-esteem is not black and white. Esteem is esteem. Esteem is good enough. When you are good enough, you will begin to let go of your anxieties, anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, overwhelmed feelings, grief, and apathy. And as you move into that state, that letting go process, that's what changes your energy. That's what changes who and what you attract. When you're worried all the time, that means you're trying to control outcomes that haven't happened. It means you're worried about how people perceive you. You're worried about people are going to reject you. You're worried about how people are going to come across. You're worried about offending people. You're worried about making mistakes. That means you're in a very overwhelmed, mixed message, transmuting set of feelings that are very unhealthy and will keep you perpetuating the same situations over and over. Now, many of you have heard me say this. I am no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape the feelings. That what that means is that you're no longer the events. You're not holding on to the events, so you don't recreate the events over and over to fulfill the same feelings. It means you're not worried about getting in trouble, making mistakes, being in conflict with people, being held to task, being asked the same set of questions over and over and over. As you begin to let go, you begin to free yourself up and you go, I am me, I am free. You become shapeless, you become light, you become energy. You become the source that people can gravitate and magnetize to. But when you're worried about keeping the team, that I'm going to build it and the team's going to fall apart, I'm going to build it and it might not last, this is going to happen. When you talk in these kinds of riddles and create these kinds of situations, that gives you permission to avoid success while you're really avoiding failing. Now, what many people do is they have so much anxiety about failing that they avoid success, and they have so much anxiety about failing that they avoid success, and they have so much anxiety about success that they avoid failing. They can't differentiate between the two, and it just keeps them overwhelmed. And unfortunately, that's what a large percent of society continues to perpetuate. A lot of great people on the call here today, or in the video here today. This is Randy Henning. Good to see you, Randy. Chip Solomine, Megan, good to see you. Carmel, good to see you. Jimmy Miller, good to see you here watching the content. A lot of great people. So many of you that have anger issues, I know I did, do, and am in the process of releasing. Anger is based on a series of events that we hold on to. Usually traumas, we don't get the promotion, we get violated, people take advantage of us, we're nice guys, we do a lot for other people, we don't get the rewards and recognition we feel we deserve, our talent goes unnoticed, unrecognized, we never seem to get the girl, the guy, the gold, the medal, the reward, we focus on these situations, which keeps us disappointed and keeps us angry. As you learn to let go, letting go means I'm no longer angry. It means you focus on this. You put a relaxed focus in it. I understand I have anger issues. I'm in the process of recovery and letting go of these issues. So instead of reacting to the stimulus, you teach yourself how to respond to it. You do this by a longer breath cycle, recognizing why you do what you do, moving into a state of recovery where you're able to not fall forward into it. You're able to detach from the feelings that would keep you perpetuating the same situation over and over. The how do I let go of anger? First of all, you recognize cause of anger, what anger is about. You accept the fact that you have anger. You forgive yourself and others for the situations you created that keep you angry. You own your own feelings. You be rigorously honest on why you are angry. And then you, most importantly, you stop setting other people up to make you. People don't make you angry. My good friend Pat Mesiti once said that people don't spit on you to make you mad. They spit on you to make you wet. Now, when you understand what that actually means, it means that you will stop setting yourself up to get angry. And instead of getting angry, you'll learn to neutralize people and situations so you're not trapped in these conversations you're in that lead your anger issues. And you'll also learn to not take things so personally. So if someone cuts you off in traffic, and I mean, they may have violated your space a little, but it really doesn't merit you running them down and kicking their ass. I mean, that's taken it to a degree that isn't really worth the energy. And the more you understand the mind-body connection to these events, then you'll separate your feelings from the events, and that's what the let-go process is. Anyone who's watching this Facebook Live, and you haven't taken advantage of a free 20-minute coaching assessment, feel free to send me a message in Facebook Messenger, and I'll return that message as soon as possible. Later this evening at 12 p.m. midnight, I'll be doing another Facebook Late Night Live, live for you here at midnight tonight, Tuesday. So that's going to wrap up today's portion of Letting Go of Unresolved Anger. The Anger Factor is the breakthrough book that I wrote in 2017. You can find that on my website, goldenmastermind.com. I'll be in Greenville, South Carolina this Saturday. I want to thank my good friend Bridget Bartley for hosting that event. Bridget has hosted a lot of events for me over the years, and I'll be in Greenville, South Carolina. It's a really up-and-coming, hot little city in South Carolina. A lot of really cool restaurants, downtown area. Looking forward to that. Next Saturday, I will be in Baltimore, Maryland. The following Saturday, I'll be in one of my favorite small cities in America, Billings, Montana. What a great reason to get on a plane, go to Billings and catch a More Heart Than Talent in downtown Billings. I want to thank Beth Henning for hosting the event in Billings on the 27th. Deborah Roeder is the host of the Baltimore event. And then August 3rd, I'll be in Long Island, New York area for the first time. I haven't been to Long Island in a year, so I'll be in Long Island August 3rd. Thank you very much for being here today. You have a great day.